When you took your vote on Saturday, you needed a two-third majority for approval, and you got even beyond that?
Yes.
Somewhere around 80%, plus or minus a few, maybe?
Yes. Yeah, that's right. And it's even more challenging than that, the way that our bylaws are written, Rory. It was two-thirds physically present at the meeting.
Is there a, shall we say, estimate? Did you have a large turnout? Let's put it that way.
We had an extremely large turnout. It was a record turnout by a wide margin.
So I would assume then we could honestly say several hundred members or a few hundred members or something.
Yes.
Good.
It was definitely, definitely critical mass and very exciting to see the degree of passion, right? One of the things that I said in my remarks to the membership is that, you know, while we may not all agree how it should be done, we all agree that, you know, course three, we want it to be better, right? We want it to improve. So, and I think that was really the key driver why so many people showed up.
Well, I saw on Twitter that our Illinois Open champion, T.K. Kelly, said that his mom gave a speech, and he said that apparently she was getting a lot of positive support for her remarks.
Yes. So she spoke on behalf of our associate members who don't – that's the under 40 group, Rory, and they don't have voting rights with that membership class. So a statement was drafted by one of the associates and routed across the individuals in that class. And 96% of those who responded to the letter were in support of the project. And so she read the letter and quoted the statistics. So it's important because the associates, you know, the young folks are paying the full amount of the assessment. You know, even though they don't have, you know, full privileges. So to have that level of support, it really speaks to the degree of excitement that they have for the future.
Well, tell us a little bit about trying to work with OCM. I know that you and I discussed this a little bit when we first talked on the phone almost a year ago today of working with an Australian firm. I'm sure there's people out there that said we're not going to go from a classic Parkland look to something that's kind of dunesy that we see in Australia. But a valid question, but tell us about working with them. And I know that I'm sure trying to travel back and forth with various travel restrictions during the year from Australia must have not been easy. And did Jeff Ogilvy ever get to Medina to take a look at things in person?
Yeah, so good questions. Early on in the process, and this was, I would even say, going way back to the bid process, they were competing against four other excellent architects in their own right. They were at a disadvantage in the sense that they couldn't physically get here because of the pandemic travel restrictions, which, as I'm sure you know, are very severe in Australia. But they did an excellent job of working with drone footage and information that we were able to share with them about the layout and history of the course. So, you know, they, from the very early days, they developed a deep understanding, you know, of the history, of the layout, of the changes that had occurred over time, even before they stepped foot onto the property. So I think it was in maybe September timeframe, Mike Cocking and Ashley Mead were here for two different periods. I think in total it was around 20 days on site, you know, between the two. So maybe it was a little less than that, Rory. It was probably two separate weeks that they were here. So that's quite a lot of time, master planning and designing. And Jeff Ogilvy has been involved the entire time. But Jeff wasn't able to make the trip due to some personal commitments that he had back in Australia. But there were regular dialogues and a series of, you know, video teleconferences. He spoke to the members at one of our town halls, and I know is very excited about the project himself.
I'm sure that he is. There have been some talk on social media that it seems like the, we'll call it the heavy lifting part of this project, is more so going to take place on the back nine. Is there some truth to that?
Yeah, I think I know where you're going with that. When you look at the design holistically, essentially what we have is 15 holes that are going to be, how could I describe it, redesigned and or restored, which means they will essentially sit in their current footprint or to their original footprint. And a good example of that is the 18th hole, which was moved in the, gosh, I don't even know when, a couple of decades ago, to its current position along the road, the entrance road. The new design will have it actually going back to where it was when the course was initially created by Bendelo. So 15 redesigned and or restored holes, and that would include all nine on the front nine, would fit into that classification. And then there's three new holes that are going to be created around Lake Kadaija on the back. So we'll have a new 13th hole. 14 will be one of those restored holes. The 15th hole, as we know it now, which was the short drivable par four that was created by Rhys Jones, will no longer be a hole. We'll be using some of that fairway for the green complex for 14, and also creating some new tee boxes for the current 16, which will become 15, right? So the famous, as we refer to it a lot, the Sergio hole will be 15, and then there will be a new 16, which will be a Cape style short drivable par four over Lake Kadaija. So you'll be sort of attacking the green complex diagonally across the lake. So that will be a new hole, very, very dramatic hole. And then a new 17th hole, which will be going back across the water and will be quite a long hole on the up to 240, 250 yards in that range. And then the tee box for 18 will be, going back over the water towards the clubhouse and the flagpole, but in the original fairway footprint. So I hope that makes sense.
It does to me. Fortunately, I've had the privilege to be there enough times where it does. I do understand that 18 now would become a par 5. Is that true?
Yes, it'll probably play as a par 5 for members, but a par 4 for the pros. So and again, some of this can change once they come back and tweak the design once they're on the ground. But our going in position would be that the course will play par 72 for members and par 70 for professionals, with the fifth hole and the 18th hole playable as par fours for the world's best players.
Well, I know that currently I believe it was holes 10 and 14 were par 5. So if the membership has a par 5 on number 18, will the par change, I guess, then on 10 or 14?
No, the 10 will still remain. We're essentially trading 14 for 18, right, as a par 5. And, 5, again, will remain a par 5 for members, right? 7 will remain a par 5 for members. And 10 will remain a par 5 for members and pros, with 7 also playing as a par 5 for members and pros.
So the next time when this project is done and people come back, and maybe people who haven't been there since the BMW or even in 2019 or the Ryder Cup in 2012, what do you think might jump out to them as, shall we say, looking different?
Yeah, that's a good question. So the new holes obviously will hopefully generate a lot of excitement because they're quite dramatic. I should probably mention 13. The new 13 will be a short par 3 that will run parallel to Lake Kadaija. So the current 13, as you know, can play quite long and is a direct line over the lake. The new par 3 will be much shorter, will play, again, parallel. You won't be traversing the water. That, the new 16, the new 17, will be stunning to look at visually. And we have a video. It might be out there on the internet. I'm not even sure if it's out there. But we wanted to make sure that our members understood what these new holes would look like. So we worked with a firm out of the UK to actually do a rendering. And it's quite a realistic rendering of what those new holes will look like. So that will be the most obvious change. But again, with 15 of the holes essentially being in the same footprint as they are today, what I would expect people to take away is there may be a little bit more space on the fairways, a little bit wider fairways, making a little bit better use of the natural landforms and contours that we have on course three. There will be different bunkering styles. The bunkering will be essentially restored back to the original bunkers from the 30s and 40s, which had, you know, more fingers or tendrils to them and a little bit more of a roughish look. We would expect to have fescue around some of the rough areas. Probably the most consistent change that people will notice is in the green complexes themselves. We are going to have much more short grass around the greens. Probably, I guess it'd be fair to say, more dramatic bunkering styles, perhaps some more challenging bunkers than what we have today. But the thing that'll be much more noticeable will be the use of short grass around the greens. So if you miss a green or get yourself in an incorrect position, the ball will travel significant distances away from the green.
So will it still roll all the way down to the water if you miss the green right at number 12?
Yes. You know, 12 is one of those holes where very, very little change would be expected. They love the design of that hole. And in fact, that's kind of a good proxy for the concept that will be introduced in many of the other holes. The only change I think they're contemplating on 12 is actually a new set of tee boxes that will make it, believe it or not, even a little bit longer.
Wow, that one's a long one to begin with. You know, a few years back, I think this was even prior to the 2019 BMW Championship, we drove out behind the first green, and you said that the club had looked at, there was an area that was somewhat overgrown that appeared to be a tee box from years ago in an old routing. Is there any chance on the second hole that that area will get used as a new tee box, and so it wouldn't be a full water carry to the second green, and instead you'd have water down the left side of the hole?
Yeah, to be determined. It's interesting because we walked that area with OCM and actually with representatives of the PGA Tour when they came out to meet with OCM and look at the design. But I think that is a possibility that would be, if you're looking at the second hole across the water, off to the right and kind of between some trees. The new tee boxes for the second hole that will be implemented for sure, Rory, are going to be taking it back farther to the left. And more, there's like a, like an open green space that's almost like a peninsula behind our racket facility. And we would expect to have the professional tee boxes to be situated in that direction.
I know that you've probably heard this before, and you know, obviously all your par threes have been great holes. They've been a great challenge. But, you know, if there was one criticism of them, some people said they kind of all looked alike because they sort of presented the same challenge. Yeah. Was part of this project to hopefully do some things that would get people saying that, well, all your par threes pretty much just play the same way?
Yeah, we're very well aware of some of those comments about the par threes, and by extension, you can say some similar things about even some of the par fours and fives and the green complexes in general, being bunkered left and right and back to front sloping, as it was a pretty consistent feature that we had. I would actually say that the key drivers for doing the project, first and foremost, Rory, you know, we're a club that governs itself with our strategic plans, and part of our strategic plans include a capital reserve study. So we have a sense of how much capital we need to invest into the club overall, including our golf courses. And we were looking at a situation where over the course of the next, 10 to 15 years, we were going to spend north of $10 million. Closer to $11 million on, everything from repairing sprinkler systems, looking at the seawalls and stream banks and cart paths and bunkers and greens. And we said, look, if we're going to have to spend that level of capital, and we also have, a membership that is generally very pleased with the successful redesign of course one and renovation of course two, this would be an opportune time to look at course three holistically. And it was that mindset that we invited OCM and four other architects to come out and tell us their perspectives on what they would do. And it's not going to surprise you to say that, you know, each of the architects that we spoke with and in their proposal responses pointed to some of those issues. So that was definitely, we saw as an opportunity to create more variety in the layout, better shot values, better turf conditions, and, you know, a layout that, first and foremost was going to be more fun and enjoyable for our members. Like, for example, implementing a fun, legitimate, well-designed set of forward tees for our older members, right? Or for our women who will play the course. All of those things went into the master plan that OCM ultimately delivered for us and that the members resoundingly approved on Saturday.
Well, Michael, as you well know, there's, you know, a lot of restoration or renovation projects do have certain in common factors. And the first thing that people are going to wonder is, A, are you taking trees out? B, maybe some of the ones you're taking out, are you moving them and relocating them? Because some clubs don't just chop them down anymore. They put them back in a different place in a strategic area. And also, if there is tree removal, more often than not, it creates additional yardage. Will you be adding yardage to the golf course? And what can you say about trees going in or out?
So notice one of the things I didn't say when you said when people come out to the course, what's going to be different is, there's still going to be trees, right? There is some tree removal. I think we have it estimated at 250 trees. But wherever possible, we would look to preserve the large, mature, native elms and oaks in place. So that's, it sounds like a lot, but it's actually less than 10% of the trees that we have on course three. The highest concentration of tree removal will be where the new holes, the new 13, the new 16, the new 17 will be implemented. But one of the very few design constraints that we placed on OCM is we said, look, when people come to Medina, we want them to recognize that they're at Medina, not just because of the, the clubhouse and all that, but it's a Parkland style course, and it'll still feel like a Parkland style course because there will be trees flanking the vast majority of the holes. Now, there might be some trees removed to create a bit more space, right, in widened fairways, because it's with space that you can introduce the element of strategy relative to hazard placement and things of that nature. So, but there will be some tree removal, but we're going to try to, manage that very carefully. It's one of the things that our members love the most about the course. And the last thing I'll say is we are looking to move the sixth hole and especially the 10th hole, which reside closest to roads, Lake Street, and I think it might be Swift Road, six on Swift and 10 obviously on Lake Street. We want to move those holes away, and we expect net to actually be planting a higher number of trees in bushes than what we actually would remove, to create a more natural, green barrier between the golf course and the fence line.